September 24, 1979, Long Beach, California. Were you born in Long Beach?
Yes. Born in Long Beach, next to the corner of 7th and Chestnut.
And who did your family come?
They came about 2 years prior to that.
Yeah, what year?
Father.
Go ahead.
My father came from Illinois and my mother from Kansas. And my father had graduated from Rush Medical College in Chicago and came out here to practice.
And do you know why you chose to go to
London? Not really, no.
And you
were going
at home?
That's right. They didn't have any hospital in those days. Neither did they even have a health department, and there was no record that the city had of my birth. So they didn't have any birth certificates. I had to find somebody that was there that could testify they knew I was born at such and such a time in order to get a passport.
And did you continue to live in that house?
I lived there for just a very short time, I think. Then moved over to 6th and Cedar. And then in 1910, my father built a place on the other corner of 6th and Cedar, and I lived there. That was built in 1910 and lived there until I got married in 1925.
And with that, that's what's now called the
Old Wilmot
section of
Long Beach.
Is that what most of
I don't know. I never heard it called that.
Well, I
have heard that at the Historical Society, that some of that area up there was called.
What did you think it was called? Was it
just called Long Beach? Just called Long Beach. And, of course, you were essentially out in the country at that point, because unless you lived within, let's say, a block or two of first in time, you were out in the country, and it wasn't solidly built up. There was a lot of vacant property, and paths running through it, and some cows here and there, and it was really in the country.
Were there any places for tourists at that time?
Well, now you're talking about that time. I was a little too young to know about
okay.
the tourists at that point.
Okay, what did you go to school
at? I went to Old Pine Avenue School, the 6th and Pine, until it was condemned, and then they sent us out to Horace Mann for the last year, I think, and rolled out there on the one-man streetcars. And one of the tricks we used to pull on the motorman was when they had a sharp turn in the track out by Dixby Park, we get the bouncing thing a little bit. Sometimes it would jump off the track and the trolley would come off and have to send for help to put it back on again.
What kind of trolley was it?
They call it a one-man streetcar. We used to have that that run out, went out East Broadway. So we rode that out to get out to Horace Mann School.
And it wasn't as big as
a
regular
50-dollar car? Oh, no. It was a very small car. And they said he called it one man because they didn't have any conductor there. Motorman was the whole thing. He took care of the ferries. The people got on and off right there by him. But it was much smaller than any of the normal cars.
Your father, you said your father was a doctor. Do you remember when they started
Seaside Hospital, or? That was built in 1911. I remember that because I remember I took a piece of the spare rail and made a crude model of a ship, because that was the time that the Titanic made that out of a piece of their spare rail. And when I had a war garden, that was on a 50 by 150 foot lot, but I started out with two other boys that were in school, in grammar school. That was quite a little job. they got tired and quit. My father insisted I stay with it, so I finished up and had a crop. And the biggest crop was maize beans, which I treated and boiled and finally sold. I could get how many pounds of them to the Wall Company grocery department. My dad said, well, the money you got from that, you ought to put movie on. So that's what I did. That was an experience.
What was a war garden?
Well, I was encouraging people to have war gardens during the war to raise fresh vegetables. So wherever there was some vacant property, well, they encouraged it. And the school did that with the children, too. They encouraged them to get out and cultivate some of these vacant lots and grow various kinds of vegetables. So, let's say I had beans and I had a lot of those things like potatoes and all the normal vegetables you use on the table, corn and so on and so forth, which was kind of an experience.
Was that your first job?
I think that's about the first thing I did, yes. I don't think I had any other actual job until about the time I started high school, when I worked in a drugstore for summertimes, making deliveries and so on. And then during high school also, I worked in a wholesale grocery warehouse, unloading trucks and freight cars and so on. I remember the first day I was there, I said, well, this will take all the fat off of me, this will make it. So I weighed that first day on the scales there as I went out to lunch. When I came back from lunch, I weighed again. I gained 3 pounds. I never lost it. I kept gaining weight down there. So I don't know whether that was a profitable job or not, because I certainly ate plenty.
You said that the neighborhood you lived in was out in the country.
Well, at the time I was born, yes. When I was going to school, I would say that I was pretty well settled around there. There were quite a few vacant lots, yes, but fairly well built up at that point.
The reason I ask is that I wonder why they put the hospital there if it was out in the country, but I guess it's by the time they put the hospital there, wasn't it?
Well, no, it wasn't too bad. It was, of course, it wasn't a... You couldn't put the hospital any place under the sun you wanted to. And they wanted to get a piece of property that was large enough so if they had to expand it, they would have room. So it wasn't a matter of just getting a city lot. And out there, they had that whole block on the north side of 14th Street between Chestnut and Magnolia and back to the alley. By the time they got that, beyond the alley to the north was where Dick Loyne's father had a brickyard.
Were there other kinds of industrial places in that neighborhood?
No. Most of the industrial places were down around the harbor area, because we still had a harbor. And small as it was, and of course the Craig Shipbuilding Company was down there. So that... most all of the industrial was down in that general area.
Were there also tourist places down in that area?
Not down in that area. I think most of the tourist places were down around the Ocean and Cedar and Magnolia and so on. They later built Virginia Hotel down there, and they had a few other hotels before that, which I think were on Cedar in that area, nothing very elaborate until they built Virginia.
I guess I'm interested in the idea of your neighborhood you thought of as just Long Beach, but when you went out to Forest Man, did you think of that as a, that was a different neighborhood? Did it have a different name?
No, that was Long Beach. But then that was, let's see, that would have been about 1916, I guess, because I started the high school in 1970.
And it was still a house, it was pretty much built up around there, too?
Mm-hmm. it was quite a bit of growth in that period of time. Talking about 15, 20 years, where quite a bit of construction went on.
When you were here, did you ever go inside?
Oh, sure. Sure, we had another fellow and I that lived just a half block apart there. He was on about my age. They used to go down there. His father was also a doctor, and they had a man that did some outside work for them. And he'd take the two of us down to the pike on a Saturday every so often, go on the merry-go-round, take in all the things that were going on, which was fun.
What kind of things? Just like
you're all the merry-go-round, and you know, he'd buy us cotton candy, and merry-go-round was the main thing. Later, they had lots of things like these fun houses and things of that kind. In the early days, they didn't have too many of those. They had motion picture theaters and legitimate theaters, too. I remember several of those, but there used to be one down behind what was the Los Angeles and Salt Lake Railroad Station, which was about where the Ocean Center building is now. And that was a moving picture theater down there, just below that. You walk down these wooden steps, the Theatorium, they called it. And they had a serial line that we used to go down and see, Meal of the Navy. And that was quite a bunch of pictures. And of course, we had the old Pioneer New Pier, which we used to go fishing. And that was before they had any breakwater out here, of course, and when you have some high water, sometimes you get high waves there, and more than once it tore out the whole center of the pier. There was just a chunk missing. The old auditorium was there at the land end of the pier, and they said in 1913 they had this Empire Day celebration, and they called it an Empire Day disaster when the entrance to the auditorium, a floor collapsed and dropped a bunch of people through there, and killed quite a few and injured quite a few people. The ambulances were running back and forth all the time between that and the hospital. But there, I remember I rode out on my bicycle to Signal Hill, and where I had a friend and told them what had gone on down here, because they had no knowledge or no way of finding out what was going on in those days particularly. Speaking of Signal Hill, we used to go out there and we had a group of boys that was built coasters, like automobiles. And we would take those up to the top of Cherry Avenue Hill there and come down to Hill Street and make the corner and go the coast clear down to Orange. And we used to have races. And of course the ones that were the fastest were the heavier ones. But they didn't have all the advantages because they were harder to haul back up the hill. But that was a lot of fun. We used to go out there and there was a stream that came down back of Signal Hill. And it was deep enough, it got up to your neck with swimming. And the fishing was good, catfish and carp.
Mm-hmm.
So of course the carp weren't any good to eat, the catfish were. So that was fun to ride bicycles and go out there.
What was Signal Hill like at that time? I
assume
it was before I was
discovered. Oh, yeah. Well, Signal Hill and the slopes around it were mainly populated by the Japanese. They had all their truck gardens and flower gardens and all of that sort of thing.
As early as you can remember?
Pardon?
As early as you can remember,
it
was all Japanese fun?
Well, yes, that was back when I was in grammar school. And some of us used to go out and work for the Japanese and pick berries. Of course, I think they ate about as many as they picked, but it was fun. And raised some of the most wonderful cantaloupes. And they raised watermelons. And worst thing I ever did was pick violets, which was a job to get down and make bunches of violets to be sold. Yeah, or longer. And then they had the municipal market around the park down in Lincoln Park. And the Japs all had these stands all the way around there. So we'd go down and help out at some of those stands too. They were selling some of these things that we'd been helping to pick and supply for them.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine what Signal Hill looked like that, because all I can remember is oil derricks.
Well, of course, there were a few houses. It wasn't built up solidly by any means. They had a road to the top, but it was a pretty bad road. And the sides of it, a lot of it was just cactus plants and things of that kind. That was long before they discovered oil. I forget what the year that was. I would think it was somewhere about 1921 or something like that.
21.
Because at that point, I remember more about that when I was in the bank and go out to their East Long Beach branch out there. And that's where the all the Shell Oil employees cashed their paychecks on payday. They had them lined up at every teller's window and out the door and down the street for a block or so in line to get their chicks cashed.
That was the farmers' merchant
staff? Mm-hmm.
And were they had a branch in Columbus?
That was the only one out there at that point. They put another, I think it was a California back out there for a while, but it was later, I believe, and it didn't last too long. But I was much of it out there for a long time. And I remember when I used to go out there from the main office, they had a bus company, B&H Bus Company. And they had these buses that converted from trucks, and they had hard rubber tires on them. And Anaheim Road was an oil road that was crowned down to ditches on both sides. And that was a rough ride to go out there and move every day back and forth. It was interesting.
With the discovery
of
oil, well, East Long Beach must have been, there must have been a kind of business district along Anaheim before
mm-hmm.
oil was discovered.
Yeah, they had a business district out there in the neighborhood area. And of course, well, the East Long Beach, the station on the Circle X there called Zachariah. That was essentially the same location. But of course, your first discovery of oil was up there. Oh, between Cherry, I think, and Cherry and Temple, I think, somewhere in that normal area. So this wasn't too far for the people to come down there.
Okay, I think we need to go back a little bit. We've got ahead. You haven't graduated from high school yet, and you're working at the bank.
No. No, I didn't start working at the bank, but I graduated from high school.
So, you said you worked while you were in high school at a grocery warehouse, or
mm-hmm. Selling wholesale groceries down on West Ocean Boulevard.
That was during the summer?
Uh-huh.
And in a drugstore?
Worked in a drugstore, and then Christmas vacation, I worked in a men's clothing store.
What drug store?
Well, it was the INS Drug Company. It was Ireland and Fellows, and they had one store on 3rd and Pine and one on 5th and Pine.
Oh,
good
brand.
Mm-hmm. Ireland ran one of them, Fellows ran the other. And then I worked for the Newell Clothing Company, which was just across the street from where Buffins is now, every Christmas holiday, which was a way to make a little extra money for dates and so on.
How come you decided to get in the clothing business?
I didn't, but then there were some places where you could find a Christmas job, and there weren't too many. That was one place, because they needed extra help at that point. And before that, sometimes I worked at the post office, because they needed extra help to carry Christmas mail. but those are about the only two types that you offer that kind of extra work in a holiday season.
You said you raise money, you earn money to go on dates and things like that. Where did you go?
Where did we go? Well, one of the things that we used to do more than anything else was usually went to a movie. Then they had a place where practically everybody went, Lord and Taylor's, which is not the, it was on Ocean Boulevard, just west of Pine, in the old Skyler Hotel. And that's where everybody went after the movie or anything. They had black-eyed suit or something like that. Well, that's like a Sunday with the chocolate syrup and chocolate-covered almonds, which is a pretty good deal. And the other thing they used to do, they used to get groups of and charter a boat, a lot of moonlight boat rides, which was fun.
Did you charter boats on Pine Island
too? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where they took off and right from there.
What did the pier look like when you were younger? I've seen pictures of it in different...
Well, it was about
two-level. It
was a double-deck with a pavilion at the end. And wasn't anything between the shore and the pavilion at the end. There's no building or structures of any kind.
And was that the pavilion that sort of didn't attract the
younger
people?
No, that was the... They had a skeleton of a big whale in there. It wasn't used for much as far as any entertainment or anything of that kind. People go out there and take their lunch or something like that. And then that was on the upper deck, and the lower deck was where you went down to boats and so on, which did all your fishing from the lower deck, too.
You know a lot of people out there, too?
Oh, sure.
Did people come to retire in Long Beach during this period also?
Well, I don't think retirement was a word very often used in those days, but of course in the early days they called this the capital of Iowa, you know, because they used to have a big Iowa picnic every year at Bixby Park. But at least at my age, I didn't hear much about retirement.
Okay. Where did you go to high school?
The only high school that wasn't long, that was Poly. We didn't have anything else. I remember when I was out there, I watched the previous high school, which was the old American Avenue School, burn down. I was up in the tower of Poly when it was burning. So I spent time there at Poly and enjoyed it very much.
Did you have any other jobs while you were going to high school that we haven't talked about?
No, I think that's about what I did because I didn't go into the bank until I started to university. Then I was down there every summer while I was going to university.
Where did you go to university?
University of Southern Cal.
And how did you decide on that?
Well, they had a College of Commerce that I'd heard something about USC, but I first planned that I was going to go back to the Wharton School of Commerce, University of Pennsylvania. And I thought I would go to USC and then finish up back there, perhaps. We had a vocational advisor at Poly, and she said, well, you don't want to go to that second-rate school, USC, because they won't accept any credits back there in Pennsylvania. So I was rather foolish, so I wrote back to the University of Pennsylvania and asked them. I got a letter back that said, we'll be happy to accept every credit from USC at full value. It's a fine school. I wasn't very popular with the advisor after that. But, so then I decided, well, if I'm going to live here, I would certainly be a little foolish, perhaps, to go on the East Coast and spend time back there and lose all the contacts I had here. I stayed here and finished up the USC.
Thinking about Pennsylvania, it's a question I should have asked you. Sort of riddle, I should have asked you before. When's the first time you ever saw snow?
Ever saw snow?
Yeah.
Hmm. the husband to figure out. I don't know whether this was the first time or not, the first time one I ever saw very much of it, but this is when I was in college. A bunch of fellows landed a cabin at Camp Baldy and drove up there and did a short vacation. And it was snowing again, and then they had a pretty good storm. We couldn't get out. So they were stymied. They couldn't drive out at all. So I don't know how I was chosen, but I hiked out to get the word to our parents that we were all right, nothing had happened to us. We couldn't get the car out. Most of them had to stay up there until the snow melted and they got the road cleared out so we could get home. But that was fun.
Yeah,
that's one of the things that interests
me is that, you know, some of us
were
pretty old before.
Yeah. I think I saw some before that. I think it was perhaps on a trip up toward Idlewild at one time, but that was just minor, just a little bit. But we really had plenty of it up in Baldy that time.
Okay, you want to? U.S. City, and you decided to become a businessman or a particular kind of businessman, or what?
Well, you see, I started to work at the bank that time, so I knew I was going to graduate in business and specialize in finance, so that's what my courses all were, and so then I became a banker.
Was the Farmers and Merchants Bank the most important bank in Long Beach at that time?
Well, it was the most important local bank, at least. Because, of course, at the beginning they didn't have all these banks that were putting in branches. And so most all of them were local banks. They had a security bank, which wasn't the same as the one they have now. And I think all of them were local. First National Bank and the Security Trust and Savings Bank and the Western Bank was a later deal. California was a later deal. Only the one a bit later, the Farmers and Merchants, of course, started in 1907, so it was one of the early ones.
And what kind of role did it play in the community?
Farmers and Merchants?
Yeah.
Well, I think they have done quite a bit because all of their interest was in the community. I mean, they didn't have branches outside, and this was their main office, and all the people grew up here, and so whenever there was something that needed financial support in the community, well, that was a logical place to try to get it. So they've always had that sort of a local tie-in with the community bank.
And what happened to these other local banks?
Well, most of them were acquired by other banks. And I think all of them were, with the exception of one or two which dropped out of the field. One of them failed, and I think the other one just liquidated. The rest of them were all acquired by the Security of the Pacific Southwest, which later was acquired by the Security, and Bank of Italy, which became the Bank of America, and so on. That was what took most of them at that time.
The bank that failed, did it fail in
1937? Yes. That was the old Seaside National Bank. It was down there on the alley between First and Broadway. The building was still there. And I think it was Bank in town. I forget which one. That was in the time of the Depression when we used to get at the bank a list of all the banks throughout the United States that had failed since yesterday, so that we would know if we saw any checks come in on any of those banks that they would never be paid. They didn't have any such thing as deposit guarantees. And when this bank in Long Beach failed, of course, that started to run on all the other banks. I know I had a job that I had an armored car from the Merchants Bank, and only two people ever drove it. That was Gus Walker and I. So they send me up to Federal Reserve will load up with currency and bring it back, and then take it into the vault and pass it out to the tellers on their requisitions, which we did. And after they found out that they could get their money out if they wanted to, or they decided to put it back in, so it didn't cause much trouble in Long Beach.
Yeah, I see a picture of that someplace.
I've got a picture of it at home.
Did the other banks have their own
retirement? No. First, the Walkers were always into some automobiles. Mm-hmm. And they had a pretty good family. And they always liked Lintons. So they took one of their Lintons and had it made into an armored car. With the armor plate and bulletproof glass and all that sort of thing. Two compartments. And so there were always two of us, one in the back and one in the front, at least. And all mixed up with sawed-off shotguns and tear gas and everything else. And that was quite an armored car. It was pretty good deal. Went to the Federal Reserve Bank in Los Angeles. They never told anybody where we were going, how we were going to get there, what road we were going to take, or anything else. And up there at the Federal Reserve Bank, they had a big iron gate that you'd have to, they'd open for you, and you'd drive in and down into the basement. They had a turntable down there, so you just drive onto the turntable, and they'd turn you around when they got you either unloaded or loaded or both. Well, back you go up the ramp. So that worked out pretty well.
Okay, you're
getting
ahead again.
Mm-hmm.
What was your first job in the bank, your first summer?
My first summer? Well, several things. They had what they called a clearinghouse messenger for one thing. Of course, that didn't take much time. That was taking all the checks from the bank on other banks in town in Los Angeles down to a central meeting place where the messengers from all the banks went, and then they exchanged the checks on each other and made a settlement for whatever the difference was. That was one thing. Then in those days, whenever you...
Did the
Long Beach
Bank
went
to the Los Angeles clearinghouse?
No, they had a Long Beach clearinghouse. And they had Federal Reserve Bank representatives come down to Long Beach clearinghouse, and they'd pick up all the ones that the checks were in Los Angeles, take them back to them. And the checks that were drawn on outlying banks, like let's say Santa Ana or San Bernardino or something of that kind, every one of those had to be manually listed on a sheet showing the maker of the check, the payee, the bank it was drawn on, the amount, the endorser, all written longhand. And then they'd total those all up, and we'd send those up to a correspondent bank in Los Angeles or San Francisco, where it was, and they would clear these to the various communities on which they were drawn. So that was what everybody did at the end of the day. The tellers and all of that would get around the big table to write down all the information on these checks. So it was a big improvement when Kodak finally came out with a record act, they called it, which you just dropped, as you ran the checks on the adding machine, you dropped it in the slot, and that took a picture of the both sides. So that was a big help. So as I say, I guess in the time I was in the bank, I did almost jack of all trades, I guess. There's a lot of different things. Ended up being a loan officer.
And you started out when you
were
in school, and you
were
sort of like an apprentice?
Yes, I would say so. I had the American Institute of Banking, we all had to take courses in and so on. And I had taken every course that was available in university on finance and banking and everything else, but that doesn't make you a banker. You have to really look at it and experience it before you become that. But it was very interesting. At one point, I thought I was going to become a certified public accountant. I had taken accounting at Google. So I was taking the mail order course. And I didn't see that I had much hopes of getting too far, maybe, in the bank. And I started this course and worked on it for quite a while. And then, about that time, the bank decided they needed a foreign department. So I got the job of having to create a foreign department for them, set the whole thing up and write a manual procedure and all that. Well, I didn't have any time then to go on with this course. So I stopped that, and one thing led to another, and then things began to move. So I stayed right along with it.
Is this after you were out of school?
Mm-hmm.
And why did you decide to set up a foreign department?
Well, because of the need for it. I remember we had some of our tuna packing plants down in the harbor. And they would ship their things all over the world with a side trap and double lading attached. And I had to take care of all those and see that they went where they were supposed to and collect them and credit accounts. And then from that we had to have our own letters of credit that we could issue. Draft on foreign banks all over the world that we could issue and all that. So it was rather interesting.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was influenced by the fact that the
longer
travel was
growing. Mm-hmm. I think so. Then I belonged to the Foreign Exchange Club of Los Angeles, but that was interesting too, because then the members of that would get invitations to go down to the harbor when they had a ship coming in on its maiden voyage. We'd be entertained. We'd be entertained at dinner and everything else. That was a nice plus.
Okay. So when you worked at the bank while you were still in school, you just did?
Well, while I was still in school, and I got into the teller's department then. So I was a teller. And of course, when I was in school, you might say I was a relief teller because I filled in during vacations. And when I got through school, and then I was a full-time teller, big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's salaries at those times. When I got married, I got an increase, and I was making $150 a month. That didn't go too far, even then.
Yeah, okay. Did most of the other people who were tellers have university education?
Not all of them, no. Some did, but I'd say most of them probably didn't.
So that was just sort of the beginning job.
So you have to find out what goes on in all departments before you can be very much value to them.
Okay, when did you graduate from
AFC?
When?
Yeah. Well, I always say 24 and a half. Because I finished up in 3.5 years. I got in a hurry. So, I finished up in January of 25 instead of June.
And about that time you got married?
Well, I had earned enough money to be able to buy some furniture and things. So, I worked then from January and married the latter part of October.
And where did you meet your wife?
USC.
She wasn't from London?
No, she was in Pasadena.
And had she ever been to Long Beach to go to the ocean?
Oh, yes. Her family used to bring the family down here in the summertime and rent a cottage and stay here for a while. But, of course, then she had an aunt and uncle that lived here, so that was a little tie also. But, of course, I never ran into her that I know of.
I think one thinks of people coming from Pasadena to Long Beach during the summer to escape the heat or going to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you learn after you were married?
Out in what they called at that time, Chateau Thierry. But to pinpoint it, it was on Elm Avenue between Bixby and Roosevelt.
And was that
like
a new suburb?
Yeah, it was a new suburb in the old time. It was a subdivision. And at that time, of course, Long Beach Boulevard on American Avenue was nothing but an oil road. And there was nothing on Bixby Knolls except one little ranch house up on the top. The rest of it was all this open country. Nothing on Atlantic Avenue. Streets didn't all run through. That was they'll have already had a feel about there at one time too, just about that thing there, right down here into the bar.
And it was there when you moved out there?
No, it had been taken away.
And the area was like
being subdivided for? Yeah, it didn't get very well built up before the oil started to spread over into that northwest area. And we didn't know whether we were going to have to move the house or what. And there was a regular parade of houses being moved, coming down the street, taking them out where they were going to drill, and picking up a lot somewhere farther north that they could move it on to. And they'd go up there, and of course most of the oil was south of Bixby. So they'd go up. They didn't go as far as San Antonio, but about that, where we could find a lot to house them.
And were they pretty nice houses, or?
Yes, they were pretty nice houses. Most of them were not too old. They couldn't meet them where they were.
Did your other company have an influence on the bank?
Well, I wouldn't say a big one, no.
Except
of course, they increased their deposits in some respects, but most of the oil companies carried their accounts in Los Angeles. So I wouldn't say it had a very big effect on it.
Well, there was increased building in
Longview. Mm-hmm. Of course, the money from oil didn't go to a big number of people. It didn't affect everybody in the whole community, because the ones that made money out of it were those that just happened to own property up there in Signal Hill. Those are the ones that made it. You might say, well, of course, perhaps the merchants prospered, because the oil worth it, and they had money to spend, and that's true. So from that standpoint, it was quite a help.
Do you remember the building
boom
that accompanied the oil
discovery? I can't say that I do. I don't think that just happened right off the bat, because, as I say, the biggest amount of oil money was confined to a few people. Sure, I know a few people have built some very nice homes, but it wasn't just nice new homes going up all over everywhere as a result of that, because there weren't enough people that made enough out of it to perhaps justify it.
Yeah, but I think maybe some of the big apartments and everything that in downtown were built.
Those, most of them were built around the 20s, yes.
And
a lot of those were built on a bond issue, Stubbs Company, and the Breakers Hotel, and the...
Yeah, could you explain that to me?
What?
About the bond issue and the...
Well, somebody would promote building a hotel, let's say, and then they find a bonding house that would agree to issue the bonds for sale, figured they had a market for them, so they could sell the bonds, provide the money to construct the hotel, and it was being hopeful that the earnings from the hotel would enable the bonds to be paid off. But it didn't always work that way.
And did they sell them, like, to people all over the country?
Anybody that they could get hold of. Of course, it depends on what firm it was that was selling them. They usually had their own clientele.
And were there local companies that sold these bonds, or were they national companies?
Well, I think most of them were more on the national company order. In other words, the ones that actually issued the bonds. They might have a firm in Long Beach that would handle them for them and try to sell them on there, yes. But the local firm wouldn't be the issuing firm.
Yeah. One of the things that I'm interested in, and maybe you'll just reflect on it, is the influence of national companies on Long Beach as opposed to local companies. For example, the Farmers and Merchants Bank or the Bank of America.